Hi there, I'm Lewis Foster, a journalist up here at Manx Radio, and welcome to this edition of the Manx Newscast. Research in the UK has found COVID lockdowns have had a negative impact on children's speech and language development. In England alone, the number of 5 and 6-year-olds who need speech and language support at school has risen by 10% in the space of a year. Well, Manx Care's speech and language therapy team has told Manx Radio it recognises some children's language has been negatively affected due to lockdowns. The reported trend in the UK, inevitably, it says, will be mirrored here in the Isle of Man. The speech and language therapy team assess children who require a referral to the team due to the severity of their speech, language and communication needs. These children would have been likely to have needed this specialist support regardless of the lockdown, and they represent a small percentage of the total children on the island, it adds. Well, we here at Manx Radio wanted to find out more, so I spoke to Ailish Gregor, who runs Gregor Speech and Language Therapy.
So I have a specialist area, which is autism, learning disabilities. So I mainly work with children and adults within that specialism, but I work with a wide range of children and adults. So I work with some children with speech sound difficulties, developmental language disorder. Just it's such a huge area, speech and language therapy.
And we've heard that since the COVID lockdowns, obviously we had quite a few over here. It's a couple of years of real disruption on the island, as it was across in the UK. And we've heard over in the UK that that children are quite behind. There's quite a waiting list. There's quite a backlog of kids trying to get speech therapy. But in terms of generally how busy you are and what you've seen, the effect of those lockdowns, just tell us what you've seen.
Absolutely. So I noticed in my own separate independent business, coming out of the first and then in particular the second and third lockdown, a massive rise in referrals through to my service. I think most of that was that parents were at home so much more with their children. You know, we all live really busy lives. Children go to nursery, they go to school. And all of a sudden we were all very much forced, I guess, in a way, to be with each other a lot. And I think parents started to pick up on difficulties their children were having, and they just wanted to know how best to support them. So I had a huge rise in referrals, and just the lockdown in general, it really did have such an impact on not just children, on adults as well. You know, adults with communication difficulties, adults with swallowing needs, the whole breadth of, you know, we work with every age as a speech and language therapist, from birth right through to death. I think it's really important to highlight that everyone struggled in lockdown, not just children.
And what is that put down to? Is it purely just a lack of socialising, essentially, and not picking up what, for kids, I suppose, what their peers are saying and doing and learning from each other?
I think it's massive. I think the first thing was that we had to stay inside so much more. So vocabulary, you know, opportunities to learn and expand your vocabulary was really restricted to inside the house. You know, you go to the wildlife park and you've got all the animals you can talk about. You can go out to the home of rest for old horses. You can go to the seaside. You know, there's so many things that we could do where we could talk about so many different things. Then we were restricted to just the vocabulary within the household. And that's great, but after a couple of weeks, it's pretty samey. So that opportunity just wasn't there. A lot of it is socialising as well, and socialising with family. So sometimes you might go to your grandparents' house and that's a whole new house with a whole new set of vocabulary. That wasn't there. Socialising with different people, socialising with your peers. Yeah, there's so much restriction. And I think that, you know, that has had a huge impact.
And you said you deal with people from young children all the way up to death, is what you're saying. What ages in particular have you seen over the last year?
So I've seen a huge referral in children. In particular lately, I would say the preschool year. That's where I've seen a really big increase. But I think that's because at that point, nurseries maybe are becoming more aware of school readiness. That for me is where I suppose I see the most people Whereas at the end of lockdown, I think it was more reception year one. And I think, again, we're seeing that now. Reception in year one are where a lot of the children with the difficulties are. And they're the ones, you know, who were most impacted during the lockdown. And the start of school, so the reception year, I think children in 2020 that were going to school, the research was saying that they needed more support. And that was that reception year that was quite disrupted as well.
And what are the signs that I suppose parents who might be concerned now or might not have thought about it particularly, what are the signs they could look out for to say, oh, has my child been set back by the lockdowns in where speech is concerned?
I think language-wise, you want to be looking at how many words are they using in a sentence. Are they able to effectively express themselves? So I quite often have parents who are really pleased that their children know their numbers and the alphabet and colours, which is wonderful, but can you express yourself? If you needed help, knowing your colours isn't necessarily the best thing. So are they getting really frustrated? Can they ask for what they want? I think my main issue is that level of frustration. I don't want children to be so frustrated that they're becoming distressed or they're withdrawing from communicating. That's definitely something to be really aware of.
And outside of vocabulary, in terms of producing the sounds themselves phonetically, I know I always struggled up until about the age of 23 with saying TH sounds. I still struggle now. I still have to think about it. Have you seen more that being more common?
So we saw that with mask wearing. So with wearing the masks, there was a difficulty with speech sounds. So if you can't see someone's mouth, you're not learning and looking how to produce those sounds. And also with a mask, that sound is being dampened. So you're not getting the full effect of hearing the sounds, listening, being able to see them. And that was impacting on something called phonological awareness. So with that, we're hearing the difference. So we talk about voiced and voiceless sounds. So p is a voiceless sound, b is a voiced sound. And then, you know, that really impacts reading and spelling. So if you're not hearing the sounds, you're not seeing the difference in your mouth, again, that is having an impact on speech sound development. And then has the knock-on effect in school with reading and spelling.
How much of an impact do you think this has all had? What challenges do you think we'll be facing in the future?
I think reading and spelling for these children who have difficulties with their language and speech sounds is a real difficulty, because when you're going to school, you're starting to learn phonics. If you've already got those difficulties with phonological awareness, like we've spoke about difficulties with rhyme, you know, we talk about syllable clapping, so being able to break the word into syllables, all those areas impact on reading and spelling. So that's the knock-on effect that potentially could happen with those difficulties that we're getting on earlier.
So what would just finally your advice be to like we say, any parent who might think maybe I should refer my child?
To refer, absolutely, to speak to a speech and language therapist. Quite a lot I see online forums or on Facebook, people asking for advice. It's all well and good to do that, but I think if you're concerned, make a referral to speech therapy or speak to a speech and language therapist, because if someone who's giving you the advice isn't a speech and language therapist, then I would say, what are their qualifications to give you that advice? If you're concerned, that's a valid enough reason to make a referral. I would rather have a referral and see someone, a child or an adult, and say, actually, you don't need me, and be able to reassure that person than someone sat at home really worrying and not knowing what to do.
Speech therapist Ailish Gregor there. Well, I knew MHK Daphne Kane has long had concerns regarding speech and language provision, so next I reached out to her.
Recently, just before the summer, we put some questions. I'm a member of the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, but obviously I'm speaking now in my personal capacity, not as a representative of the committee. But during the committee hearing with the Education Minister, I'd raised certain number of questions relating to speech and language therapy and the available support through the school system. And we then followed that up with getting some information now published on our committee website from the Department of Health and Social Care. And I think, you know, that as far as it goes, the speech and language therapists are doing a fantastic job. So is the Preschool Assessment Centre. But I think what we could really do with On the Isle of Man is something long term addressing the need we've got across a social affairs policy, particularly in relation to the younger years. The Isle of Man is showing us in that information provided that there are 23 young people of school age awaiting initial assessment, and they could be waiting practically a year to have that intervention and therapy and support. But in the early years, there are 95 children waiting for initial assessment, and they could be waiting up to 287 days. It's just not good enough. It's not assisting young people to get the help they need to be able to thrive. And the more delayed it is, the more issues young children have with speech, the more it holds them back.
Of course, yeah, and that was going to be my next point, really, almost a year. I mean, in terms of children's development is massive, socially particularly.
Yeah, I think we have to say it, also in the information, it does demonstrate that across speech and language therapy, it's a massively understaffed industry, professional need, and almost over a quarter of the 20,000 posts currently available are not filled, and they are doing their best to fill the posts on the Isle of Man to get back up to full strength. But given the huge jump in demand, we have to say, is it enough? And also, is it being delivered at the right level? And I wonder, while we have all lauded the fully inclusive education system, whether in fact a children's development centre or some sort of step up from the preschool assessment centre, which do a fantastic job with the resources they have in the preschool, but a special centre maybe attached to a cluster of schools providing daily or increased levels of speech and language therapy in the younger age group. Perhaps that's what we need. And I also think that we just need to have a joined-up social policy with children at the heart, and the provision and resourcing of what we have now to meet the current needs.
And in terms of anecdotally, what you've heard from your constituents, because I understand you know particularly certain people who have had challenges with getting provision on the island. What have you heard since lockdown particularly?
There has been, I think it's documented, with the use of masks, increasing number of children left in the home for longer, lack of stimulation and conversational input at an ever younger age. And there are some social issues. Obviously, we want to be a society that enables every child to have the best opportunities and the ability to thrive. And I know in England they have a language unit attached to groups of schools with children with mild or moderate speech difficulties. Whereas I think that those are the children who perhaps now with the greater need and the increased demand for additional education needs across the board, who perhaps are falling through the net and just being put into mainstream school and not given the intervention or the therapy that could assist in the early years when hopefully they would be able to thrive and be more mainstream. I just think that the whole social policy needs a good look at, and I suppose that's where we come from in the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, but also what's government doing to assess the need. The Education Minister gave a figure in Tynwald this week. I think it was around £14 million is being spent on additional education needs. So I have to question, is that really being invested in the right way across the board? Is trying to assist a lot of children to remain in inclusive education really the best solution, both for those children and the rest of the class?
What's the first step then? Do you plan on bringing this back to Keys at all in a question?
Well, I have to say, as Social Affairs Policy Committee, we've not got a formal investigation inquiry into this aspect. We've been looking at healthcare, children's oral care, education, you know, all the social affairs, and we pick up threads. And also, obviously, I have had for many years several constituents raise this as an issue in terms of accessing the interventions that they need at the time they need them. So I do think it's a long-standing issue. I think that the speech and language therapists in Nobles and in the private sector are doing a fantastic job. I just wonder if it's structured and resourced adequately for the current demand.
In the process of putting this piece together, I was contacted by a Manx resident whose child requires speech and language support. These comments from them, voiced by Manx Radio's Rob Pritchard.
In short, the delivery doesn't meet the needs of the caseload within children's speech therapy, much of which is delivered in 6 weeks blocks, at which point it's determined if a child still requires access or if they should be discharged and, in many cases, re-referred to commence the episode of care again. During lockdown, much of the face-to-face was cancelled, meaning that the waiting time had increased. My son is 5 and has a known speech and development delay, where proven outcomes are suggested by frequency of SLT. However, staffing is an issue and delivery is provided as a one-size-fits-all. Once the 6 weeks is up, it's then around 12 months before this started again, in our case anyway. What I will say is the therapists themselves are an asset to our island and the children they work with. However, the funding doesn't meet the requirements of the caseload.
I've been Lewis Foster. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.